Now let's get back to the idea, the central theme of today's masterclass, which is the agreement reversal sets. On the in the manual that I have sent through to you, if you look at the heading entitled agreement reversal sets, you'll see that there are three categories. There's the doubt certainty, the stop reversal, and the amplification reversal. All of them really are working the same principle, which is lead them down the path, steal the path. Lead them down one path, steal the path. They're just doing it in slightly different ways. They are creating that moment of shock in a slightly different way. So the one I want to focus on right now is the doubt certainty, because that's going to be the simplest one to get the hold of. And if you understand that one, the others will kind of make sense by themselves. Now, the simplest way to look at the doubt certainty pattern is basically you think X, but really it's Y. And when I say you think X, well, the way I imply it with my language and my tonality, I'm basically saying think. If you're thinking X, I'm implying, but there's a doubt there. But really it's Y, which is where the certainty is at. Now, I need to give some credit here. The inspiration for the doubt certainty pattern came from one of my mentors, John Overturf, who I think is an incredibly gifted NLP practitioner and hypnotist. And I saw him, or rather heard him, using this idea of you may think this, and really it's that, over and over again in many different sort of coaching demonstrations and other things. And one day it just sort of clicked, and I went, I understand. I know what's going on here. It suddenly clicked that this is how confusion patterns worked. So this is why I want to introduce you to this one as a simple starting point, because when you understand this, you can begin to get more and more sophisticated as you develop your skill and your competence and your faith and ability to use these things. A more sophisticated version of it is you may think X and you'd be right in realizing it's not quite what you think. So notice how the pauses, as well as the tonality, as well as the language, are all there constantly reversing you. When I say you may think X, I'm already implying doubt. You may think X. The doubt has been implied. I pause. So the path you're going down is, yeah, I probably was thinking that, but where is he going with this? It's obviously not there. Then I go, and you'd be right. Somebody's saying the path that you didn't think, the one path you didn't think was going to be the one because I cast doubt on it, is the right path. And you'd be right. So you go, oh, I guess I just imagined it. And I pause again to let that sink in realizing it's not. Now, this is powerful because you've done a kind of double takeaway. You've reversed it, you've done like a mini reversal, so you've actually made the path that we're on seem more solid by seemingly putting into doubt and then reinforcing it. They go, oh, I guess this was the right path after all. So you've reinforced it even more. But then when you come up with the it's in realizing it's not, you're actually literally whipping the carpet out from underneath their feet so that they have no idea what to think anymore. And of course, you can run into your conversational pieces about quite what you think because your unconscious mind can do this and that. And now you can go into whatever patterns, whatever power loops, whatever stories you want that open up the creative unconscious that basically enters the trance of infinite possibilities. So, do you see how the sophistication of that pattern is built up around a very simple principle? You think X, but really it's Y. Consciously, unconsciously. Do you see how that builds up and how the reversals are built in very eloquently through timing, pauses, a tonality, and specific language?
Okay, an example might help.
The example is right here. You may think that you don't understand this consciously, and you'd be right in realizing it's not quite about thinking consciously, because your unconscious mind needs to understand that when you're working with people, anything goes when they go into the trance of infinite possibilities. And how many times have you found yourself there? No need to think, you just know. Something important is happening. And whilst you don't think you know what that important thing is yet, you can feel assured that the unconscious level, everything you need to understand, is being absorbed right now. Does that make sense to you?
Thank you.
Now, to put it another way, doubt certainty on a linguistic thing, it doesn't, it's not limited to you think this, but really it's that, or you think this, but no, it's that. You can do anything. So in the doubt side of the equation, you think X, you could have feel, expect, believe, imagine. You'd imagine it's this, and you'd be right in realizing that it's not, right? You'd expect it to be this, and you'd be right in realizing that it's not. So do you see how think is not the only word you can have there? The whole point of the pattern is you use a word that implies doubt. Think, feel, expect, believe, imagine. These are some of those words. On the certainty side of the equation, which is where the reversal takes place, you use words that imply certainty. Realize, know, discover, uncover, recognize. These are all reversals which imply that this is more certain, this is more real. You think this and realize that. You might feel this and know it's that. You might expect this and discover it's that. You might believe this and then uncover it's that. You might imagine it's this and then recognize it's that. Do you see the pattern, the basic polarity, the duality of this?
I do, in the context of, covert trances and so on. I might expect, more people. The confusion that would induce people would come back and say, "Well, what do you mean precisely by that? What do you mean by saying you may think it's X, but it's really Y, or you may think that and you'd be right?" It's something they'd be demanding some explanation almost.
Well, perfect. First of all, if they are demanding an explanation, by the way, that means you've done your job well, right? You develop some confusion. Perfect. More importantly, you can go to the top of my list of segue people because you've just introduced the very next question I need to ask, which is, how do you use this? It's all well and good having the pattern, but how do you actually use it? And as with everything else, there is a sliding scale going from the semi-overt, which is the way I used it at the beginning of this masterclass, all the way through to the totally covert, where no one really knows what's happening. They just feel the changes, experience the changes. Now, on the semi-overt side of the scale, the very simplest way of using this is you replace X and Y with the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. You may think this consciously, but really, it's about the unconscious mind. You may think it's about your unconscious learnings here, and you'd be right in realizing that's not, because your unconscious mind can learn in different ways. So you're using conscious and unconscious. And using that as a very simple example of a conscious unconscious dissociation. And you can run that through very simply. That can be semi-overt though, because you're using concepts like conscious and unconscious. And there are contexts where you can't use this. So here is some other language that has the same effect, but doesn't talk about consciousness in that way. So you don't tip people off too much that you're doing something hypnotic. So for conscious, you could always replace the X by the word obvious. For unconscious, you could replace the Y part of the equation by not immediately apparent or not so obvious or have a deeper meaning. So you may think that I'm talking about the obvious things, and you'd be right in realizing that I'm not, because there's a deeper meaning behind all the things that you learn. And I don't know if you've heard all the deeper meanings or discovered the meanings that are really important for you to understand right now. But what really matters is for you to consider all the ways in which you have discovered meanings and things after you dismiss them as being trivial. I remember reading a book when I was young and thinking it meant one thing. I came back to it a few years later and realized it really was trying to tell me something different. Now I've recently reread it again, and I've discovered that I didn't even know what I thought I knew, because there's even deeper layers of meaning inside that. And just like you can go back to the same source of information and discover new and better ways of understanding things. So you can now understand all the things that we're talking about in a way that you've never considered before. So do you notice how, without having to talk about conscious and unconscious minds, which are very hypnotic terminology, which could tip people off, I have still gone into my trance of infinite possibilities. Let me ask you, who amongst you allowed yourself to slip into that trance of infinite possibilities, as I made the example, even though you knew it's coming?
I did.
Right? Did you enjoy it, Paul?
Yes, very nice.
Did you have lots of questions to ask me? Or do you suddenly sense that the questions really aren't that important anymore? Very good. Thank you. And again, that was a very good question you asked. Now, the final way, which is the most covert way of using the agreement reversal set, totally covertly, is to basically replace the X side of the formula with whatever topic you're talking about, whatever problem they're presenting with, whatever beliefs they're developing or they're talking about, which you can tell are the very beliefs that are getting them limited or getting stuck. So you say, you know, you might think that it's about people hating you, and you'd be right in realizing that it's not, because there's a deeper thing that moves people. And now you can go on to your normal advice. You can say, look, there's a deeper meaning here, and you can give them the normal piece of advice. And first of all, they won't be able to reject this quite as straightforwardly, because you've already shocked them out of the automatic, no, 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 I've already thought about this mindset. The second thing that happens is, because you're activating a bit of a trance of infinite possibilities, when you're giving your normal everyday piece of advice, because you've already suggested that there is a deeper meaning there, something more than is immediately apparent, they're going to be looking for deeper meanings in what you're saying. So essentially, whether you're using a metaphor or a story, or you're actually giving straightforward advice, they're going to be treating that advice in the same way as they normally would treat a story or a metaphor, and attaching their own meanings to it. Perfect. And you didn't even have to say anything to do that. Do you see how that works?
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, let's turn into something practical here, because I want to do a demonstration before we finish up today. How do you do this practically? What are the steps? Remember, we started off today with enhancing the ABS formula to the CABS and TABS formula, right? So how do you use CABS and TABS to make this happen? Well, four steps. Step one, which is the part of CABS, is you've got to light up the box. You've got to find the box in the room, and you've got to open it up. How do you do that? Well, in a covert setting, in a conversational setting, you're going to pretty much be there. Otherwise, you've got to find a way of simulating whatever the problem is, that stuck way of thinking is, because until that bit of neurology is lit up and they're starting to let the lights go round and round in a circle, you have nothing to interrupt. You have no walls to try and break down. Step two, after you've lit up the box, is you have to find the switch. That's what the C or the T in the CABS and TABS formula is about. And basically, you've got to find the context or the trigger, ideally the trigger, that sets the whole thing in motion. You've got to find the switch that lights up the box. Now, once you have that, once the box is open and you know what the switch is, you'll be remembering the switch for later on, because you'll be using that as your integration bit later on. Now it's time to, as my mentor used to say, your overdose used to say, loosen up the concrete. You've got to mix it all up, loosen up the concrete, so they're kind of getting unstuck a little bit in their thinking. This is the stage, of course, where you use your confusion techniques, you break their state, you bypass their conscious mind. Essentially, this is where you run the doubt certainty agreement reversal set. Once you've loosened up their thinking, and remember, it may take several evolutions of this. As I said, if one door doesn't go through, it doesn't go through to the tip, the trance of infinite possibilities, open the next door and the next door and the next door. You may have to cycle through several layers of loosening the concrete before that person can allow themselves to enter a trance of infinite possibilities. At that point, when you find them kind of going into that slightly nowhere state, that's the slightly nowhere land, you have some kind of tip loop, a general tip power loop, a trance of infinite possibility power loop. So it's to say a little bit of hypnotic language, which you can just run, just rattle off anytime you need to, to get them into that state. I like to make them up fresh in my mind, but that's because I've made up enough in the past and used them to be familiar with them. You can use process language for this. You've heard me use process language on 3 or 4 occasions on this session already. You could use stories. You've heard me use one story to get you into that place when I mentioned the books and how I found different meanings in different stages. You can use any kind of those kind of experiences. The point is you're trying to move them from just a trance where they're not quite sure what to think, which is the trance of infinite possibilities, and then you're going to start refining that trance into possibilities that are actually positive. In other words, to find resources. So your tip loop is all about getting them into the tip, the trance of infinite possibilities, and once they're there, finding resources in there, finding something useful. Because otherwise, they might just as well come down on a negative again and reinforce the old pattern. That's just as possible, because infinite possibilities means just that. You can have good and bad stuff. Your job as a hypnotist, where you're doing this covertly or overtly, is to guide them to pleasant, positive experiences, positive resources, so that the whole thing has a positive outcome. So, the 4 steps, CABS. Light up the box and find the switch. That's the C and the A. That's the lighting up the box is the grasping their attention. The finding the switch is basically context or trigger. B, break their state, bypass the consciousness, throw in today's session, we're going to throw in the doubt certainty pattern, and then run a general tip loop to just let them enjoy that experience. Now, I've talked enough for a little bit. I'd like to have 2 volunteers, please. Who would like to volunteer?
Okay, I will, Eagle.
Excellent, Paul. That's one. And we'll have Paul and Paul, seeing as that we have the two of you online. Paul and Paul, thank you for volunteering. So one of you is going to now run the AR set, the doubt certainty pattern, within the CABS formula in order to just get someone into a trance of infinite possibilities. The other one of you is just going to be act as a friend, client, mentee, whatever it is, someone who comes with a little problem, just so you have someone to work with. Who would like to volunteer to be the hypnotist for this?
I will.
Who was that? Who jumped in first? Was that Paul in USA?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you, Paul. So, Paul, you are familiar with the CABS formula. You're familiar with the 4 steps that you're trying to get through. You're hopefully familiar with the language pattern. You can use it in a very simplistic way, in a very mechanical way. Today, I'm not looking for eloquence with this. What I'm looking for is for you to be able to mechanically go through the steps and access a trance of infinite possibilities. That is what I'm looking for. You'll be semi-overt, of course, because that's easier to get the grasp of. And once you can do this with several people semi-overtly, it'll be a lot easier to do it totally covertly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Paul in London, you're of course going to be the client for this, right? So Paul in London, are you still there?
Yeah.
So you're going to be the client, you're going to be the coachee, the mentee, the friend with a quote-unquote problem. What I'd like you to do is choose a genuine problem or annoyance, but please, because we're in training right now, make it something minor. Because we'll only be spending like 10, 15 minutes on this, I don't want Paul to have to go through a full coaching process, which might take like an hour or so. I want him to just be able to get the point of a trance of infinite possibilities so he can get the mechanical steps so we have that in action, right? Once he can do it with something simple, it becomes easier to do it with something more complex. So do you have something like that in mind? A minor annoyance, perhaps someone, you know, cutting up in traffic, saying something to you that you didn't like, but it's really not that big a deal. Maybe a problem that when you think about it, bugs you, but really not enough to do anything about it because it's not really that important. Do you have something like that in mind, Paul?
Okay.
Paul in London, are you ready?
Yes.
Do you have a problem or annoyance in mind?
Yes.
Don't tell me what it is yet. So, Paul, your job is to find out what this thing is. Light up the box whilst finding it out. If you can find out what the switch is in terms of context or trigger, use whatever other knowledge you have to find that. Then run them through the doubt certainty pattern. I don't care which version you use. You could use the simple version. You think X, but really it's Y. You could use the more sophisticated version. And you can use conscious, unconscious, obvious, or not immediately apparent, and the very covert, you know, problem belief versus deeper meaning. I don't care which of those you use. Choose whichever seems most appropriate or easiest at the time. Remember, I'm not looking here for you to be fantastic at this or to be eloquent or elegant at this yet. I'm looking for you to get the steps mechanically in the correct sequence and get the outcome, which is a trance of infinite possibilities at the end. Does that make sense?
It does.
And I don't even care, by the way, if you get rid of the annoyance at the end of this. That's something we'll be covering more in session 3. Oh, one last thing. You may not want to do this, but seeing as this is a coaching element, I won't be interfering because you have enough experience to be able to run this by yourself. However, if at any point you want to do a timeout, which is to say you want to ask a question, make a comment, or just do a timeout to think out loud to say, I think I'm going to go down this route next before you jump back in again, that's okay. Okay? So if you want to take time out to verbalize your thinking, that's fine. If you want to take time out to ask a question of me, that's fine. If you want to take time out to discuss what options you have and which ones you think you want to go for with me, again, that's fine. I'm here to be a resource to you. I will not jump in of my own accord. So either I'll say nothing, or you may want to use me as a resource, in which case, do that. So with that in mind, are you ready to go?
Okay.
Off you go.
Paul, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So Paul, if you're anything like me, you've got things in the world that trouble you. Have you ever had anything like that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What comes to mind when you think about things like that?
Well, something that I guess is relatively minor in the great scheme of things. It's just an example is an irritation, you know, in this day and age with the spreading use of text speak and the, you know, what I would consider the inappropriate corruption of language when used in mobile devices and so forth.
And so when you see that text, do you normally get that over your mobile phone?
Yes, but I see it spreading to other media as well, more mainstream forms of communication. And it's minor, but it's irritating and unnecessary.
And maybe that's like email, you see it in email as well?
Yep, that's correct, yeah.
So really then, if I understand you correctly, anytime you see the English language in a written format that doesn't follow proper rules of grammar, that's the problem, is that right?
That's true, yeah.
And how does that make you feel?
Part of me is irritated, and another part of me thinks that the rest of me is absurd for becoming irritated at things that are relatively minor.
And so not only do you need to think about, you know, the inappropriate grammar in the words that you read, but you also need to think about the underlying meaning of what's being communicated even more until you understand exactly what it is that the reader really intended for you to grasp.
Yeah.
How's that, Igor?
Very good. Now keep going. You just opened the door to the tip. Now just run into a nice little loop, keeping him in the tip and expanding his options. Point things out to him that now that he's in this tip, which is opening up, that he can experience.
And so, as you think about that, as you think about the underlying meanings that the reader wanted you to understand, and you're consciously focusing on the improper use of the grammar, like you said, there's another part of you that understands that there's so much more, that you can really become absorbed in the message that was intended, to the point where your unconscious can use all of the information available to it, and that feeling of dissatisfaction can just melt away into the past.
Beautiful. Excellent. In fact, textbook. You moved through all four steps. You got a nice little context.
I was gone.
So how do you enjoy that, Paul, from London?
Yeah, it's very, very, he's good. But obviously I've recognised him before, but his tone and the change of tone and the voice, very good indeed.
Very important fact, of course. Now we've got another example of how important your vocal qualities are as a hypnotist. Paul from US, very elegant example. Of course, you use the amplification reversal there rather than the doubt certainty, just so people are clear which agreement reversal set that you used. And that's fine. I mean, you did a very eloquent, you used that very eloquently and kept that running through. Now, notice how the stages happened. You took your first pause at the end of the B, which is to say the bypassing consciousness. So you had him on that threshold of the tip. You could hear it in the way that Paul from London was saying, yeah, I'm kind of there. And then you expanded in upon that to give him more options, different ways of looking at it. This is where you very elegantly set up your reframes so he could understand it in different ways. So how did it feel like to do that for you, Paul, from the US?
Felt weird.
In what sense?
Well, it was like, normally I'm like, I have to consciously process everything, have it in my mind to do this, this, and this, and I didn't do that on this one. I just let it come out.
Congratulations.
So that felt weird.
And may there be many more weird occasions in your life.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, you know, that weirdness served you in great stead because you came out with some incredibly eloquent ways of using this. And it's the first time. It is the first time that you've used the agreement reversal set. It's the first time that you've run through the CABS formula and you heard the results that you got with Paul. Now, in session 3, we'll take the next step, which is to say, how do we put this all together into an even more solid format for change? For the moment, this is enough for us to focus on. We have CABS and TABS as a formula. We have the agreement reversal set as a way of getting into the trance of infinite possibilities. And we still must do the S part of the formula, which is to reframe, to open up the options, to investigate the resources, to point out resources that might come along the way. And of course, your initial conversation, which is where you get your context and your trigger from, will be showing you some of those resources you'll need. In the next session, session 3, we'll talk about some other places which will give you inspiration for resources that you can throw into the tip, and we'll investigate those later. But for the moment, you did an excellent job. So Paul, well done. Paul, well done as well. So let's just pause there for a moment and take stock of where we're at. We understand the meta pattern behind all confusion techniques. We know it's a conscious and unconscious dissociation, and the way that it works in practice is that you're basically taking someone's mind and you're leading it down one path, one direction, and then you're going to steal the path. You're reversing direction suddenly, or you're going off at an angle which was unexpected. One of the ways to do this is the agreement reversal sets. And one example of the agreement reversal sets is the doubt certainty pattern that we've just been talking about. Now, there are other possibilities, and in your manual, under the agreement reversal sets, you've got a couple of other examples of how this idea, this very idea of lead the mind one way, then reverse it, take another way, to make them expect a certain kind of path, and then steal the path, can be worked. Now, that's the thought process I had in my mind when I created these as patterns. There is no magic in the pattern. None. Zero. The magic is in the thinking that generated the pattern. And I hope you appreciate this, because this is just one of the ways that my mind has come up with to do what we're talking about. You know, think X and consciously do Y. Lead this way, actually it's this thing. If you think in these ways and you use these, get used to doing these patterns as techniques just to get practice, but always in your mind are realizing that you can go beyond that, you will find other, possibly even better patterns on your own that are more conversational, more natural, more useful. And I want you to minds to always keep that there. Now, having said that, I'd like to talk a little bit about these two patterns so you can understand some of the subtleties that I've put in there for you. So let's look at the stop reversal. The stop reversal is basically the shock element comes not so much from the reversal, but from when you literally stop them. You're taking the mind down one road. It's almost like you're saying, run, 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 run. And just as they're starting to run, you grab hold of their belt and you stop them in their tracks. So they suddenly get the shock of going, what has happened? That's where the confusion element begins. It begins in exactly the same way, though, as in the agreement, in the certainty doubt. In other words, you always begin with an agreement of some form. So not only do you need to think of all the things that you have to do, but you also have to stop and realize all the things you'll learn along the way, which will make it easy for you. So we have three parts to that formula, for that equation. The first one is, if you like, a pace. It's the conscious pattern. Not only do you have to think about the things you have to do, not only should you be upset at the texting, you know, the way people text, not only do you have to keep doing this, but you also, now notice how mentally the also is basically making you anticipate an extension of your own ideas. Have to stop. So just the point when you're expecting me to encourage you to go further, to extend the ideas a little bit, I'm telling you to stop. So it becomes that sort of freeze frame where suddenly you go, whoa, what just happened? I pause for a moment to let that sink in. And then we go on with the realize, know, etc. Just as in the doubt certainty, this is where the certainty element comes in. And realize all the things you'll learn along the way which will make sense. This is just one formulation for it, which is basically, I'm talking about an unconscious activity. Okay? To make it simplistic, I could use the same pattern with just the words conscious and unconscious, as we did in the doubt certainty pattern. Not only do you need to think about these things consciously, but you also have to stop thinking and begin to feel how your unconscious mind can do things in many different ways, because your intuition is there to provide you with practical wisdom every step of the way. So again, do you notice, as you bring yourself back, for those of you who've started dropping into a tip again, do you notice how I've done exactly the same thing? Paste a conscious pattern, just very simplistically saying conscious mind. I've begin to exaggerate that, but just as you think about to exaggerate that pattern, extend it, I tell you to stop. I cut the flow, which is where the shock happens, and then I reverse the flow. Another way to do this, again, exactly the same ideas apply as you did with the doubt certainty pattern. You can use the words obvious and not immediately apparent. You not only need to think of all the obvious things, but you also have to stop and realize that all things aren't immediately apparent. And then you continue into your tip language. So do you see how, whilst this sounds quite different to the you might think pattern, it actually logically follows the very same ideas, the very same flow, in terms of taking down the path, seal the path, in terms of conscious versus unconscious minds. Do you see how the exact same elements are there? Flow reversal. It's just being presented, or it's just being constructed in a different linguistic way. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
Now, the same thing is true of the final pattern which you have there, or the final patterns actually, the amplification reversals. The simplest version of this, of course, is not only do you need to do X, that's the pacing of the pattern, you also need to do more X. You exaggerate the pattern, or you chunk up from a pattern. Not only do you have to think about the things you have to do, you have to keep, you need to also think about your whole life in the context of this. So I'm exaggerating the pattern now. And then I'm going to do a smooth reversal. So whereas the stop reversal stops you in your tracks to a shock, I'll do a smooth reversal, which I'm basically paced you into it. So it's like doing a longer curve. And by the time you realize you've reversed, you've reversed. How do you do this? Well, the word until does this very elegantly. Not only do you need to think about the things you have to do tomorrow, but you also need to think about all the things that are happening in your life right now until you find or you realize that your unconscious mind has always been there to give you the next step. So you don't need to know what you have to do 10 steps down the line. You just need to know what that next step's going to be. And I wonder, with all the things you know you can do, how would you begin right now to master covert trances in your everyday conversations? How can you begin to enjoy the process of helping your friends, your colleagues, your loved ones, at the same time as helping yourself to master a skill of tremendous importance in your life? Because you don't know how far taking this next small step can really take you in your life. And what a good thing to know that you don't have to take the responsibility of the destination. You just need to trust your unconscious and take that one small step that will lead you in the direction you want to go. And trust that the next step will follow smoothly and naturally and automatically as soon as you've completed the first one. So as you think about that, you'll realize that mastering conversational hypnosis, covert trances, is a very straightforward process. And as you go through all the stuff that we've learned in the last two sessions alone, whilst it may seem like a lot of information consciously, unconsciously, you'll realize that it's all a very simple pattern. Lead them down the path, then steal the path, and open their minds up to the trance of infinite possibilities, where they can find many wonders that they've forgotten about for a long, long time. Now, as you bring yourself back for the final run, the traditional point at the end of these sessions is, of course, for me to throw the lines open, for you to make any comments, in other words, how the experiences you've had here perhaps tie in with what you've already done before, or how you choose to, you think you're going to use them, as well as for you to make any, ask any questions. So comments or questions, gentlemen, ladies?
Paul in London, here we go. Very interesting. The point where you stop, you steal the path to open up the person's mind to possibilities, wouldn't that also be the place, ethically of course, where you would lead them to perhaps where you think it might be appropriate for them to go to, rather than just allowing them to open up to all sorts of other unconscious insights? Sorry, but
absolutely no,
vague.
Paul, you have hit the nail exactly on the head. The chance of infinite possibilities has one flaw. Because the possibilities are infinite, it includes both positive and negative ones. And one of your jobs as an ethical influencer is to make sure you present them with at least some specific ideas or resources, some reframes that you know or have a high likelihood of working for them. In terms of a different relationship, say sales or negotiations, etc., well, then it's a no-brainer. You want to introduce the fact that one of those possibilities is the very option that you want them to select. Now, your job as a salesperson is to make sure that your product or your deal is good enough so that when they're in this trance of infinite possibilities, your possibility is at least one of the better ones so that they are incentivized to use it. If you're giving them a very useless possibility and there are way better that they have without even having to work with you or pay you any money, there's no point in trying to do that inferencing there. Does that make sense for you, Paul?
Yeah.
There was a question I had, because I just got thrown off again. It was really about the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in a sense, you seem to be just creating a whole series of mini fractionations,
mm-hmm,
and with pauses, it seems that eventually, if you just put topics in, and provided you keep it smart, you'll just send people in hypnosis to overload anyway, which means you'll have a very natural feel, I assume.
It's a very, very, very smart realization to make. Yes, absolutely. So this is the whole beauty of the trance of infinite possibilities. You are adding more and more possibilities. Now, if you can throw in, for example, smart goals as kind of different topics, different directions to take them in, and you fractionate those, you're opening people up constantly to more and more options. This is where I wish more people, for example, who teach in education, like schools, who are working with young minds, would use this. Imagine if your teachers, when you were at school, had spent every lesson at the beginning or the end or somewhere in between running you through trances of infinite possibilities and reinforcing how many possibilities you have in your life on a daily basis like that, basically on an hourly basis, because every time you change lessons, you have it reinforced. How much better will your life be when you have that deep inner knowledge, that security that you know that you have options available to you? I think that'd be a wonderful thing. So yes, a resounding yes to that one, David.
Thank you. Okay. Now I know what I think, what I can actually do with it.
Fantastic.
Because I don't like formulas, because I just kind of get bogged down with them. So that, but it kind of explains something which I've been doing, but not... Sometimes I do reasonably consistently, but don't have enough control over it. But I think I now know how to control it.
Awesome. Well, I'm very, very, very pleased to hear that. And just to reinforce something you just said there, David, which is, yes, everyone who is listening to this recording, this is not about a technique. Please do not get bogged down in technique. Don't have to memorize this language pattern. It helps as training wheels. It's about the concept. It's how we got to the language patterns, how we got to the technique in the first place. That's the bit that makes you powerful masters of hypnosis. If you understand that and you're willing to put yourself through a phase of training, by all means using the training wheels I've presented for you, then you have ultimate freedom. You as a hypnotist should be the last person to be limited in your possibilities. You should be entering that trance of infinite possibilities yourself. Because remember, part of what makes you an elegant hypnotist, a great hypnotist, is the ability to go first. So, thanks for that, David. Any other comments or questions from the group?
It's Paul and Love. I just liked your response to David's last question, really. I think I'm having an agreement reversal moment here, reminding people they have choices. It's striking me as very profound. Very good.
Excellent. Thank you for that. All right, folks, well, it's coming to the end of yet another extended masterclass, so I'd like to thank all of you for staying with me, both your conscious and your unconscious mind, of course, and realize that the more you allow yourself to enter the trance of infinite possibilities, the more you will have infinite possibilities in your own life. So I look forward to seeing and speaking to you guys again on the next session, session 3, where we'll take the ideas that we've covered so far and we'll transform them, we'll ramp them up to yet another level to make you as ethical influencers go to a completely new level. That's one of my objectives. So with that thought in mind, thank you all, and I look forward to the next time.
Thanks, Igor.
Okay. Bye.